For businesses around the world, today isn't a restart. It's a rethink. That's why they're partnering with IBM to change how they work. From supply chains to customer service, let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart to learn more.
If you or someone you know owns a business and were told by an insurance company that their business interruption insurance policy does not cover coronavirus-related claims, you may be entitled to significant compensation. For a free consultation and to see if you qualify, please complete the questionnaire at lockdownloss.com. The legal team at lockdownloss.com is a consortium of litigation firms consistently recognized as the nation's leading law firms in their respective practice areas. Go to lockdownloss.com today. That's lockdownloss.com.
The legal offerings mentioned in this ad are not a guarantee of service and or performance. Each case or matter is different and is judged on its own merits.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. 2015, the Gold King Mine wastewater spill. Do you recall? The photographs were shocking. What we know of the facts are the Environmental Protection Agency, as is its task, was seeking to clean up an abandoned gold mine. And something went wrong. The water that had been trapped inside the gold mine for decades burst into the wild and flooded the Animas River watershed so much that there were photographs, and you can still find them online everywhere, of a river running gold. At least it had the appearance of gold. I knew at the time, though, that's not a positive because we're looking at heavy metals flowing downstream in what is a critical river for recreation, for fishing, for wildlife, and for the people who live there. What is the problem? How do you clean up a Gold King mine and make a mistake like this? Well, it turns out that's a small window on the larger problem of the abandoned mines across the United States, chiefly in the West. And I welcome Jonathan Wood. Jonathan is a PERC Property, Environment, and Research Center in Bozeman, Montana, PERC Research Fellow, an attorney at Pacific Legal Foundation. His new book from PERC, which anybody can acquire, published in the winter of 2020, Prospecting for Pollution, The Need for Better Incentives to Clean Up Abandoned Mines. Jonathan, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this, because this is all a revelation to me, an Eastern kid, about the scale of the problem. First of all, abandoned mines. There was an 1872 mining law that you informed me about, and that began to codify how people worked mines. But up to that point, it had been a gold rush out there. Everybody was going in all directions. I know, having traveled in Montana, there are huge open pits to this day that I think to myself, how did that happen? When are we going to solve this? But you tell me, there are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of mines not now being addressed. How many? What is the big number that we think, and what is the big number going to cost, presuming we had the budget? Good evening to you, Jonathan.
Well, good evening, and thank you for having me. I'm glad you took an interest in the topic. I think it's probably the most underappreciated environmental challenge we face today. And one of the challenges is that there's no clear answer to your last question of how many abandoned mines are polluting water throughout the western states. Federal agencies have estimates for how many there may be, but they're sort of all over the map. One agency estimates it may be as low as 160,000. Federal land agencies estimate it's more likely at half a million. And that's a huge difference, which with significant consequences for the likely cost of cleaning up abandoned mines. We don't know exactly how much that will be, but the answer is likely well into the tens or hundreds of billions of dollars.
Well, that sounds like a challenge. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. But I've learned from the Department of Defense, beg pardon, Jonathan, that the first thing you do is you audit. That, you know, when you've got a task, you need to know how big it is. Has the federal government, have the state governments applied themselves to audit how many mines there could be in their regions?
No. And part of that is because it can be difficult to find them. Most of the mines were created back in the late 19th century, early 20th century, when there wasn't a system to encourage miners to let people know where they were going to be operating. As you mentioned, during the gold rush, miners rushed west and just started digging throughout federal land in all the western states. And the federal government took a hands-off approach. It let it happen and didn't really monitor where the digging was occurring, because at the time the thinking was, this is how we're going to settle the West. We're providing economic opportunity and encouraging people to move out west. And that worked spectacularly. But the downside was that as those mines became exhausted and abandoned, people lost track of where they were, and no one was responsible for them anymore. And over the ensuing decades, they've contributed pollution to countless headwaters and other streams throughout the western states. Old King Mines, I think, is a perfect but rather dramatic example of this. The pollution you saw pollute the Animas River was obviously huge, but the hundreds of thousands of abandoned mines we're talking about release the same sort of pollution in smaller quantities every single day. And there are estimates that as many as 40% of headwater streams in the West are polluted as a result of abandoned mines.
So what we have is a scale that is daunting. There's an illustration in Jonathan's book that shows that this is a problem west of Kansas, except for Arkansas. That is a problem as well. But the obvious states that you think of the West, of cowboys, of people riding around, of prospecting, of the wagon trains from Colorado to California. And all of these mines are not audited, so we don't know where all of them are. We've established the facts. But if that was the only problem, we could get out there and count. There are other problems created by Washington. What a surprise. We'll go through them quickly, because then we'll get to the solutions. The first one is the Superfund, which once upon a time created something called the Good Samaritan Program. Jonathan, what is the Superfund?
Superfund is a federal law designed to encourage the cleanup of heavily polluted sites. And generally it works by putting the cost burden of cleaning up sites on the people responsible for the pollution. But that doesn't work in the abandoned mine context, because those people are long gone. They died decades ago. If there was a company, it went defunct decades ago. And because of the liability regime of Superfund, it's created a huge disincentive against cleaning up abandoned mines. The rule is essentially, if you touch it, you own it, and you overnight become liable for all of the financial consequences of the mine. And that's basically a deal breaker for most Good Samaritans, like utility companies, mining companies, and conservation groups that otherwise would go out and work to clean up some of these mines. But they're not going to risk bankrupting their company or their nonprofit group to do so.
We'll come back to the Superfund's Good Samaritan program in detail, but I want to mention another barrier. That would be the EPA itself and also the Clean Water Act. How do they work with these abandoned mines, Jonathan?
That's exactly right. The biggest source of pollution from abandoned mines is the discharge of what's called acid mine drainage. It's things like lead, arsenic, and other pollutants that get into rainwater and ultimately reach streams regulated by the EPA under the Clean Water Act. And the standards under the Clean Water Act are extremely strict. So strict, in fact, that a Good Samaritan can't risk trying to clean up the pollution from an abandoned mine, because if they get 90% of the way there but can't afford or can't technologically get all the way down to eliminate the pollution entirely, they become liable under the Clean Water Act. And for most of the polluted streams, you can't even get a permit to cover that sort of activity. So we essentially punish anyone who might try to make water cleaner under a statute, the very purpose of which is to clean up water.
The EPA, the Clean Water Act, and the Superfund were all constructed in the 20th century, and they were constructed to address what you could see, the problems in front, and presuming they were attached to someone who was responsible. Well, that isn't the case with abandoned mines, but let's even apply ourselves more. You estimate, Jonathan, that there are $21 billion worth of cleanup costs, if we had the money, on federal land. That means the federal government is responsible for the cleanup of federal lands, abandoned mines, but they don't know how many there are. Is that correct?
That's right. Those are estimates, so there's a ton of variation in either direction. One thing is clear. The amount of liability is far greater than the federal government currently commits to cleanups. Overall, under Superfund, the federal Congress gives federal agencies about $1 billion to pursue cleanups of all sorts of polluted sites, not just abandoned mines, but abandoned military bases and abandoned industrial sites and all sorts of other polluted sites regulated under the Superfund law. Abandoned mines get a tiny fraction of that. So realistically, federal funds aren't there to provide for the problem, whether it's $21 billion or $10 billion or $5 billion. Federal agencies just don't have the money unless they can get support from Good Samaritans who are willing to help contribute.
Jonathan Wood is the author of a new book from PERC, the Property Environment and Research Center in Bozeman, Montana, Prospecting for Pollution, the Need for Better Incentives to Clean Up Abandoned Mines. There are other uses besides really cool movie sets for cowboy movies once upon a time. When we come back, what is to be done? I'm John Batchelor. This is The John Batchelor Show.
Taco Tuesday.
Woohoo!
And Wednesday.
Yay!
And Thursday. And you get the point. Enjoying too much of the same thing? Mix things up with Cholula. Cholula hot sauce. The best thing ever to happen to tacos. Choose Cholula.